My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and take notes, and now I am sharing those notes with you. Today's notes are from the council meeting on April 10th, 2024. First up, a quick mayor's report. Mayor Whitmire gave a status update on Gala at McGregor, which is a senior living facility in District D. After someone came to council to complain, the mayor made a personal visit to the site and updates are in the works. Whitmire also remarked on his first 100 days in office. He has been talking to city employees and constituents, and the morale of city government has been improved. That's a quote. His top priority is public safety, followed by infrastructure and city services. Whitmire praised council for their hard work and said, quote, "I do not even know what day of the week it is and certainly haven't kept up with which number in the administration it is," end quote. Hashtag humble brag. Whitmire praised collaboration with the Harris County Commissioner's Court and is hopeful more of the same is to follow with the Texas Land Commissioner and presumably the General Land Office or the GLO. The mayor was definitely more subtle today with his digs at the previous administration. He said, quote, "We're listening to Houstonians, in my judgment, like never before. The transparency across city government is being restored," end quote. Whitmire mentioned much work forthcoming, particularly with city finances, and said short-term rentals are a hot button issue. He particularly acknowledged the fire department, the police department, EMS, and all employees that work for the city. Next up, I'll go over item 3, which approved 4 people to the Metro Board. Terry Morales was a reappointment, but the other 3, Christopher McMillan, Kathy Han, and Terry Preston, are all new. Mayor Whitmire said, quote, "I was very deliberate in my choices, reflecting our community, people that would represent the options for our mobility," end quote. There are now more women than ever before serving on the Metro Board. Judge Han recounted her early life as a Vietnamese immigrant who depended on public transit. She said this is a way for her to give back and also to help the Asian community understand and have access to the public transit options that are available to them. Pastor Brown emphasized the need for a, quote, "safe ride, a clean ride, and connectability," end quote. Metro Board Chair Elizabeth Gonzalez-Brock thanked the mayor for the board's diversity and remarked on this historic day that marks the first Vietnamese woman on the Metro Board. Now I'll move on to some select agenda items that caught my ears and my eyes. Item 4 approved the final contract amount of $19 million for work completed on the new Southwest Police Station. Councilmember Huffman supported this item, but she did advocate for an HPD storefront or station in District G, which has none currently. Item 7 approved $15,000 for fire hydrant repair parts. Item 8 amended Houston's colloquially known catalytic converter ordinance to align with state law. Councilmember Kamen thanked Mayor Whitmire for his work in the Texas legislature on a similar bill. She praised this ordinance as a tool for law enforcement and advocated for more resources. Mayor Whitmire redirected Kamen's praise back to her and to the city, admitting that he and other state legislators used Houston's ordinance as a model. In a rare moment of kindness to the previous mayor, Whitmire said, quote, "The previous administration did a fine job," end quote. Item 9 denied a CenterPoint rate increase. CenterPoint will likely appeal the city's decision to the Railroad Commission, where it will be consolidated into the parallel case proceeding at the commission. You might remember this from the public hearing that was a few weeks ago. Item 14 approved a contract extension with the company that leases golf carts to the Parks Department and to the city for special events in general. Councilmember Peck encouraged the city to lease more vehicles rather than purchase. She says it will save money in the long run and allow the fleet to have newer vehicles more often. Item 15 would have approved extending My Brother's Keeper's contract for an additional $800,000. My Brother's Keeper facilitates the Urban Scholars Program at 6 HISD schools. Councilmember Carter attempted to refer this to a committee, reasons unclear. Mayor Whitmire encouraged her to tag it rather than refer to the committee because that has a shorter timeline for resolution. Carter went back and forth with the mayor, but Councilmember Pollard butted in with a tag, effectively cutting off further discussion. Item 16 approved $3.9 million for 5-year contracts with 18 tow companies for HPD's Tow and Go program. Each contractor holds a police authorized towing service agreement and will patrol assigned segments of the freeway system. Item 20 approved a $2.4 million contract for security guard services for the health department. Item 29 amends certain definitions in the agreement with the Houston Forensic Science Center that will ultimately lead to the standardization of evidence handling processes. Several council members remarked on the need to standardize evidence collection across agencies, not just within Houston, like the police department, the sheriff's office, constables, et cetera. Mayor Whitmire advocated for more funding for the Forensic Science Center, especially with budget season approaching. Dr. Peter Stout, the director and CEO of the Forensic Science Center, said that crime labs are missing a zero in their budgets. Councilmember Kamen agreed with calls for standardization and more funding, calling on other partners like the county to also step up with that funding support as well. Item 24 allows HPD to accept a $53,000 solid waste grant from the Houston Galveston Area Council, or HGAC. HPD will use those funds to update server systems and cameras to stay on the technological edge of illegal dumping enforcement in the Houston area. Item 37 would have approved a contract with a real estate broker for a city-owned tract of land in District K that was originally intended to be used for affordable housing, which was also originally funded in part by the Texas General Land Office, or the GLO. Last week, four council members tagged this item after a lengthy discussion having much to do with GLO relations. This week, Councilmember Castix Tatum successfully moved to refer it back to the administration with no further discussion, so this item is on hold for now. Next, I'll go over item 40, which was the big ticket item today, the parking meter ordinance. Item 40 would have amended the ordinance governing parking meters, which was an effort to increase city revenue. This council member proposed item used Proposition A, which was passed last November. And Proposition A allows a coalition of three council members to put items on the agenda without the mayor's approval. This item was submitted on April 3rd by council members Pollard, Blickinger, and Thomas. After much Prop A related discussion on a different item last week, Councilmember Pollard tagged this one. So we get to talk about it this week when more Prop A discussion ensued. So currently, parking meters are active Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. This proposed ordinance change would make them active from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Today, Councilmember Castillo moved to refer this item to the newly formed Prop A committee for review and more public engagement. Many of the same arguments from last week made an appearance today. Councilmember Pollard argued that referring such items to committee circumvents the will of the voters. He said, quote, "We have to look at the city as a business. We are a $6 billion services corporation. Like any other business, we're going to have to find revenue," end quote. Pollard indicated that other businesses, like the Symphony and Ballet, who spoke at Tuesday's meeting, are raising prices themselves, and he asked why the city should not also be allowed to consider such measures. He criticized the as-yet-undefined Prop A committee process, and he complained about bureaucratic pileup. Mayor Whitmire advocated for the committee process in general. He said council members' request for more time should always be honored, no matter the circumstances. Whitmire thinks that all items proposing new revenue sources should go to committee as a rule, which this one does. He joked that this conversation was already veering towards a committee meeting conversation. Councilmember Castillo said that Prop A only allows for councilmember proposed items to get placed on the agenda, but that they are not privileged and exempt from criticism or public engagement. He agreed that not every councilmember proposed item needs to go to committee, but that this one needs more work. Councilmember Kamen reiterated that setting this item to committee does not mean that every item brought by councilmembers will be sent to committee. She also advocated for standardized timelines for departments to respond to questions when things are at committee. Councilmember Evan Shabazz, as co-chair of that Prop A committee, cautioned heavily against using the committee function to cherry pick and gatekeep what gets to council for a vote. Councilmember Pollard came back saying that there has been little public interest around this ordinance change. He cautioned against turning the council process into something similar to the state legislature, saying, quote, "We know all the dysfunction that happens in the state legislature," end quote, which is a very bold thing to say considering our mayor just spent the last 40 plus years of his career in the state ledge. Mayor Whitmire said there has been public interest evidenced by recent engagement. He predictably defended the state ledge and its process, saying, quote, "It's a pretty open process that, quite frankly, has been around longer than this body," end quote. Councilmember Potler continued to make what I consider to be dismissive remarks about public engagement, claiming that tagging this item would be sufficient to get all of these kinks worked out. Councilmember Kasich Tatum supports Prop A in general. She described it as a check and balance to Houston's strong mayor system. She acknowledged Mayor Whitmire's openness generally to councilmember-led initiatives, but pointed out that mayors and councils come and go, so it's important to have those checks and balances in place down the line. Finally, there was a vote on the motion to refer this to committee. So I'm going to tell you which council members voted not to refer it to the Prop A committee, which would move the amendment along for a vote today. Those council members were Evan Shabazz, Thomas Pollard, and Kasich Tatum. Next, I'll tell you the council members that voted to refer to the Prop A committee, which would delay a vote until after that hearing, which is on April 23rd. That was Mayor Whitmire, Councilmember Peck, Plummer, Jackson, Kamen, Flickinger, Huffman, Castillo, Davis, Martinez, Ramirez, Alcorn, and Carter. So as you can see, those votes greatly outweighed the votes not to refer. So this item is on hold until it's heard at that Prop A committee on April 23rd. Finally, I'll go over the Councilmember pop-up. Councilmember Kamen plugged an upcoming public meeting on preserving the Freedmanstown brick streets. That's on April 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at Rose of Sharon. Councilmember Jackson criticized TERS's for improper use of affordable housing funds. She asked Mayor Whitmire to investigate, and he agreed. Councilmember Thomas plugged the Housing Committee meeting on April 16th, a deed restriction workshop on April 27th, and a 10-mile bike ride beginning at Arthur Story Park on May 4th. She joked, "Please bring your prayers. I have not been on a bike in quite some time," end quote. She also listed several speed cushion projects rolling out soon, all paid for with council district service funds. Councilmember Martinez wants to facilitate the Service Employees International Union, AKA janitors, those contract negotiations going on at the George R. Braun Convention Center. Councilmember Pollard thanked the administration for their invitation to collaborate on funding sources. This was a very PC statement. He sent Whitmire 5 funding proposals and looks forward to working on them together. He has no problem with the administration taking the lead if it expedites the process on any of those. He also said that he is still waiting on a response from Whitmire on the list of questions he and Councilmember Thomas sent the mayor weeks ago regarding the firefighter settlement. Councilmember Alcorn encouraged direct action on short-term rentals engaged in bad business, like human trafficking and illegal events. She suggested parking some officers outside of these buildings now, and she recalled the crackdown on the Richmond Strip years ago as an example. Regarding the upcoming budget season, Alcorn is working with Finance Director Dubowski on the workshop schedule. She hopes to add one more cushion week, but we shall see about that. Councilmember Plummer advocated for cutting through bureaucracy to take action on short-term rental bad actors. She wished Eid Mubarak to those celebrating the end of Ramadan. And that's it. That was the meeting. I want to thank our Patreon supporters, and it's been a while since we've done an episode, so I have a few to thank. Thank you, Dan, Adam, Delana, Luke, Robin, and Alex. Y'all's support means the world to us. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes. If anyone listening would like to join that very cool team of people that helped make this project happen, you too could get a shout out on this very podcast. I also want to thank ACLU Texas for their support. This podcast has music by Joe Wozni. It was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.